lose money on a lot of companies. Parish and Dunbar, we've been losing a lot of money. They spend a lot of money paying our salaries and developing this and marketing it.
Right.
And in the end, it could fail.
Definitely. Nothing lasts forever.
Okay, so if you have a Gemara Megillah, let's open up to the Avdalah Nomen Aleph. And we're going to take a look at a Gemara here about Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I'll tell you exactly how you can find it. It is Daftalah Nomen Aleph. Yeah, that's we didn't get that far. We got up to the
Daftalah. Right, right.
Are you basically going in order picking?
Pretty much, yeah. So it's about 12 lines down from the top. Before this, it's more of an agadata, and it says, "V'omer Rav Yeshua ben Levi." See if you can find it. Nashim chayomas b'mikra megillah. Oh, so why would we? Why do we doubt? Why would we
even question?
Yeah, even question.
Mitzvat asesh as man berman.
Excellent. So as Max says very well.
So I didn't hear the whole question.
I didn't even get to finish the question. He gave me the answer that if not for Rav Yeshua ben Levi, I would have said that women are exempt from the mitzvah of kriyas shma Megillah because it's a mitzvah seishas zman grom. So the chiddush of Rav Yeshua ben Levi that despite the fact that it's a mitzvah seishas zman grom, nevertheless women are obligated. Why are women obligated? Sha'af hein hoyu ba'oso anes. Okay. V'yom Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Now we have another statement of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Purim Shechalios B'Shabbos. What happens if Purim coincides with Shabbos? Now, when Purim coincides with Shabbos, we do not read the Megillah. Does anybody know why?
Because
it's Karim.
Exactly. This is called the Gzeirah D'Rabba. And Rabba was afraid that if we allow you to read the Megillah on Shabbos, you might come to carry it from one rishus to another in order to get an expert to show you how to read the Megillah.
Same with, well, maybe different read, but same with Shofar, also why we don't go on Shabbat. The rabbi who...
Same rabbi. Also, lulav, if falls on the first day of Sukkot falls on Shabbos, we don't shake the lulav because of Gzeirah D'Rabba. But what we do have when Purim falls on Shabbos is we have another halacha, and that's called Sholim V'Dorshim B'Inyano Shel Yom. Now, before we try to understand what this means, Sholim V'Dorshim B'Inyano Shel Yom, I want to point out to you something that I saw here in the note. And he says that the Rif and the Rush, both together, claim that Rav Yeshua ben Levi is addressing the Mukafim. Do you remember which day of Purim we discussed this in the past? Which day in the month of Adar the Mukafim in the walled cities read the Megillah?
The walled cities read on the 15th.
15th, day. Excellent, on the 15th.
Right.
He says, Amal Purim deprozim in the open cities, Haina Biyadalid, lo yachol lochol b'shabbos. The 14th of Adar could never fall on Shabbos.
Lo Adirosh.
I guess based on Lo Adirosh. And therefore, this whole discussion that we're about to embark upon would only be relevant to the Krachim who read the Megillah on the 15th, because the 15th could be a Shabbos. So what do we do on Shabbos of Purim if we live in a walled city? Oh, so the Gemara says, Sholim v'darshin b'nyano shel yom. We cannot read the Megillah, but we can have the local rabbi, let's call him the Chacham, who will sit and darshan, that's called darshan. Sholem means that people will raise questions about Inyan Shalyom, about whatever the subject matter is, in this case, the Nes of Purim, Megillas Esther, any questions that they have, and any issues that he could address. All this is going to go on the Purim day, which is in this case, Shabbos, the 15th of Adar. And if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Sholem v'darshim ma'amidim turgamon lifnei achacham lidrosh igeres purim barabim. Now, who is this Turgamon? And what's his role? Why is Rashi introducing a Turgamon? Usually a Turgamon is like a translator. And Rashi says, Lidrosh Igeris Purim Barabim. Now, it sounds like the Chacham has in front of him, on this occasion, an Igeris Purim. Igeris Purim is another phrase that's identical with what? Megillas Esther. Igeris Purim. Igeris means it rolls. Have you ever seen the way when they read the Megillah, it rolls, you know, they
open it up,
and they turn it inside out. Right. So that's called Igeris Purim. And Rashi's learning that there's a Turgamon over here, and his job is to stand in front of the Chacham, and I guess what the Chacham is doing is he is speaking, the Turgamon is translating, so the Turgamon is sort of like the go-between from the Chacham to the Rabbim, to the people who are in the audience, and back again, because the people in the audience are going to ask questions, and the Turgamon is going to relay the questions to the Chacham. I'm not sure if the Turgamon has to translate things from language to language. Usually a Turgamon, otherwise known as a Mitargim, is a translator. Here, I don't know. I can't tell you if Rashi means that he's a translator. But in any event, what's important here is that Rashi seems to indicate that the Shol Vidarshim has something to do with the Igeris Purim. And I don't know how Rashi drew that conclusion. Now, I want to read to you again one of the notes here. He says that if you look at Purim Shechalios B'Shabbos in Tosfos, which is about five lines up from the bottom of the page, he says, Dafka B'Shabbos Lefisha Ein Koran HaMegillah. In other words, this whole this whole procedure, this whole experience of Shol V'Darshin is a substitute for Kriyas HaMegillah. So when Purim coincides with Shabbos, Ein Koran HaMegillah, and that's because Gzeirah D'Rabbah, is then we have to have Shol V'Darshin as a fill-in, as a substitute to replace the Kriyas HaMegillah. B'chol, on a regular day of Purim, Ein Tzarech. We don't need Shol V'Darshin. Why? Shari Koran HaMegillah Utfei Ika Persume Nisa. And there's a greater Pirsum of the Nes. So it sounds like, according to Tosfos, there are two types of Pirsum. The ideal type of Pirsum is to read the Megillah publicly. And that's going to happen whenever the Megillah falls, whenever Purim falls out on a weekday. But when Purim coincides with Shabbos and there's no possibility of reading the Megillah, how do we achieve Pirsum HaNes? So here we have a fallback, a substitute kind of Pirsum HaNes, and that's going to be achieved through Shol V'Darshin. Now, if in the ideal situation the Pirsum HaNes is through the Kriyas HaMegillah, then when we cannot read the Megillah, we want to get as close as possible to the Kriyas HaMegillah. What would be as close as possible to the Kriyas HaMegillah? That the Chacham has in front of him the Megillah. He's not going to read the Megillah, but he's going to darshan the Megillah.
Meaning, could he even read it just out of Rasha and say, this isn't the Maisa Mikra Megillah? I'm just, you know, learning some Tanakh. I'm reading the 11th Rakim of Megillah Esther. Like, at what point does it become a Maisa Mikra Megillah?
I would have thought the Mikra Megillah is when you have a club. So if he's doing it just from a book, what's the problem?
Well, that's what's the game.
I don't know, Rashi used the phrase Igeris Purim. I don't know if he's referring to a cloth or not a cloth.
Probably not, for not, because that's the whole point of the year.
I mean, maybe Joel is giving Max the answer that you want. That's what makes it, as you say, a formal Kriyas HaMegillah, is when you have a cloth. Maybe when Rashi used the term Igeris Purim, it's not on a cloth, and therefore it's not an official reading of the Megillah.
We had the question on Rosh Hashanah, you know, like what constitutes a mice, you know, a mice of Tekiah, Kokeh Lashir, does that count yet? You know, he's just blowing for, right? So imagine here, like,
for musical purposes.
Yeah, for musical. So I'm not reading the Megillah. You know, at what point can you accidentally read the Megillah or not? You know, I'm just reading through Tanakh from the Sefer, from the Koah. At what point is it like?
Is it possible that since he's not reading it Kiseder from beginning to end, he's just choosing select points and he wants to ask questions and answer questions? So he starts a whole drasha on the Megillah and he starts discussing in front of the audience, you know, what happened when Esther was appointed queen and the whole story. People ask questions. He fields those questions and answers them. That's not an official reading of the Megillah. He's just using the Igeres Purim to raise questions and answers questions.
So it's almost like Pesach in a way. You've got someone who's retelling the story, people are asking questions, and
right. He's
relaying back.
And that you're allowed to do even on Shabbos. We don't find that you don't read the Haggadah on Pesach Shalios for Shabbos. That's not included on the Gzeir the Rabbah.
Friday night we read the Haggadah and Shabbos. Friday.
Yeah, if let's say Friday night is the first night of Pesach, we'll read the Haggadah. We're not gonna apply the rule of Gzeir the Rabbah and say maybe he'll carry the Haggadah from place to place. the Haggadah is really not an official text that in other words, it's not on klaf like you said before.
No, it's like this.
Right, Haggadah is really just meant to make it easier for you to talk about Yitzis Mitzrayim, to ask questions, answer questions.
Could that sort of format be what it's talking about here, or is it talking about reading from something? Meaning, people are just asking him about the story, or is he actually reading something from somewhere?
I get the impression that he's reading it from an Igeres Purim according to Rashi, because again, we want to get as close as possible to the original. If it would have been a weekday, he would have been reading the Megillah. And now that it's the Shabbos and we have Gzeirat HaRabbah, he can't read the Megillah. Let's find something that's a replacement for reading the Megillah, but it's got to be similar to reading in the Megillah. So on the one hand, he's got a Megillah in front of him. On the other hand, he's not reading it from beginning to end. And it becomes like your paradigm of the Haggadah, where you focus on one paragraph on one point, and then you ask a question, you go back to the next point, and you go on and on and on. And that's what's going to happen on Purim. Now, I'm not sure, is this happening on the day of Purim? Right, we're talking about the 15th in the case of a walled city. Or is this happening on the night going into Purim? I'm not sure. So let's see as we go through the Gemara. So the Gemara now asks the following question. My area Purim. Why does Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi focus on Purim? Afili yontif nami. The same halacha called Shola v'dorshim ben Yerushal Yom applies on every yontif, as the Gemara is going to go ahead and prove. Here's the Gemara's quandary. From the fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi singles out Purim, it sounds like he's telling you a special din in Purim. That since we cannot read the Megillah, so instead we have the substitute of Sholem V'Darsh. But in truth, Allah Sholem V'Darsh, the Gemara claims, applies with regard to all Yomim Tovim. Now, I'm going to ask a question here, assuming that you know. If you don't have the background, you won't know. But when we say Sholem V'Darshim with regard to Yomim Tovim, when does that apply? On the day of Yontif itself? Does anybody know? Good. But actually, it applies even before Shabbos HaGadol. Exactly, Shloshim Yom. And this is Sugya Masechta Pesach. I apologize if I'm talking very slowly. I have something a little bit caught in my throat, so you'll. Yeah, I keep drinking, but it doesn't seem to help.
Cold water, is it?
If you get me hot water, just plain hot water. So if there's halacha with regard to every yontif of Sholem Midarshin 30 days before the Chag, that kicks off a 30-day period of preparation and study for the halachas of Chag. We have to prepare for the Chag. Certainly in the cases of Pesach and Sukkot, I don't know, in the case of Shavuos, I'm not sure exactly how important it is. But then what happens on the day of Yontif itself? Is there any purpose for Sholem Midarshin? You've already kicked off this enterprise, this program of Sholem Midarshin. Thank you, 30 days before the Chag.
It's really an appropriate topic. It's not for necessarily from a halachic perspective, of kind of like,
thank you.
Shabbos is a day for learning, like getting close. Shabbos, more so than the weekdays, is the time for getting close to Hashem, through learning Torah in general. Like, so say, like, when's the best time to like learn for Pesach? What you learn about the mahut of the yom to really enrich your experience throughout the day. Not to learn how to clean your house for Pesach, but just like on Pesach, what is Geula? What is Chayrut? What is?
So let me ask you a question. Is Sholem Midarshin to prepare you for the Pesach or for the Chag so that you'll be able to implement its halachas? Or is Sholem Midarshin meant to enhance your experience of the Pesach?
So when you say Shloshim Yom Kodem, I understand that it's a preparation.
Preparation.
So it's a technical, get us ready.
But if it's on the day itself,
it's enriching.
Then enriching, it's part of the experience of the day itself. So the Gemara now is learning Rabbi Yeshua Levi in the following way. That with regard to Purim, there's no Aloch of Sholem Midarshin Shloshim Yom Kodem Lachan. And therefore, we would have said without Rabbi Shimon Levi that the whole concept of Sholem Midarshin is inapplicable to Purim. But in a case where there is no Megillah, then how do we experience the day? Notice what links up the day with our intellectual understanding of the day. Here, according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, we have a Sholem Midarshin. This Sholem Midarshin is radically different than the classical Sholem Midarshin, which applies to every Yontif, which is kicked off 30 days before the Chag, and has nothing to do with experiencing the day. It's just preparing you for the complex halachas that will apply to the day, so you'll be in a preparatory stage. So it means 30 days before Pesach, you're already preparing the house for Pesach, you're getting rid of chametz, you're being mashir kelim, you're buying your matzahs, whatever you're doing. On the day itself, you can experience the day in its fullest without Sholem Midarshin. So then Sholem Midarshin with regard to the Regalim has no place on the Yontif itself. It's only a preparatory stage. Lilmod Almanas Lassos, to learn for the sake of preparing. On Purim, there's no din of Sholem Midarshin to prepare for Purim. But on the other hand, there might be a need of Sholem Midarshin to experience the day of Purim. When?
When's
on Shabbos? Because since you don't have the Megillah, how do you connect to the Pirsum Hanes, to all the details of what would happen, with the Gzeir of Haman and so forth and so on? So here we're going to have Sholem Midarshin. Rashi insists that the Chacham has in front of him an Igeris Purim to get it as close as possible to the Megillah, because it's really substituting for the normal experience of Purim when it falls on a weekday of reading the Megillah. But the Gemara says, I have a problem. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon Levi Lechor is against the Braisa. The Braisa is going to tell us that there are two dinim in Sholem Midarshin. There's the din of Sholem Midarshin of Lilmon and Ras Lassos as a preparation, that's 30 days before the Chag. And there's another din of Sholem Midarshin on the day itself. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon Levi's language is very misleading, because he indicates that on Purim, and only on Purim, is there a halacha embedded in the day that embellishes and the experience and enhances the experience of the day of Sholem Midarshin? As if to say that's on Purim and only on Purim. This Sanya, but we have a Braisa. Now this Braisa is based on a pasuk in Vayikra Yechav Gimel in Parshas Emor, where it says, Vayidaber Moshe Moadi Hashem El Bnei Yisrael. And what does Vayidaber Moshe mean? All the mitzvahs were given by Moshe. Here, when we get to the Moadim, for some odd reason, the Torah finds it necessary to repeat Vayedaber Moshe. And the answer is that this is to teach us that Moshe, Tikein Lehem Yisrael, She Yerushalayim v'dor shebinyonu shel yom ilchus pesel v'pesel ilchaseres v'atzeres ilchus chag v'chag on the day itself. In other words, this is not a halacha preparation of shloshim yom kodem l'chag, but rather this is vayidaber Moshe es moadei Hashem. This is the way you experience the moed. So you're going to learn the halacha shalom v'darshin b'inyon shalom on the day itself, hilchus pesach b'pesach, etc. So it seems that there are two halachas of shalom v'darshin. And the halacha of shalom v'darshin, as it's integrated into the experience of the day, that applies not only on Purim, but on all regalim as well. So why does Rabbi Yishuv Halevi single out Purim? The fact that he singles out Purim seems to give us the impression, and this is a wrong conclusion to come to, that on other regalim, on other holidays, there is no din of shalom v'darshin on the day itself. And the din of shalom v'darshin on the day itself, according to Rabbi Yishuv Halevi, applies to Purim and only to Purim. And that's not so. Now, when a statement is made and in a halacha ruling is given and it's limited, there are two ways of interpreting why it was limited. In other words, when you make a statement that could be general but you specify a particular case, there are two ways of going. Joel, would you be able to fill me in on this? When you have a general rule,
yes.
And then someone comes along, a certain Amor, and he makes a statement that halach applies here and now, and he specifies and he restricts and he limits it. There are two ways of explaining why he did that when there's a general rule.
To limit the general rule.
Either he rejects the general rule and he holds that it's specific to this, or
you would have thought this rule, it wouldn't apply to this case.
Exactly. Excellent. That there was a hava meaning that maybe the general rule wouldn't apply in this case. He wants to tell you chiddush that even in this case it applies. So here's where the Gemara vacillates. How do we understand Rabbi Shmuel Levi when he focuses in on Purim that there's a din of shalom v'darshin? Is he doing X or is he doing Y? X would be that he's telling you this halach of shalom v'darshin bo bayom as part of the we woven into the fabric of the day itself and its experience is only on Purim and it doesn't apply to the other moed. Or alternatively, he's telling you that general rule, that this halach of shalom v'darshin on the day itself, you might have thought doesn't apply to Purim, and Purim would be the exception to the rule. Kamashma and Rabbi Shimon Levi wants to teach you that even on Purim we have halach of shalom v'darshin. And it has to be the second way, because the first way would contradict the Braisa. The Braisa says that there's a general rule of shalom v'darshin bo bayom regarding all regalim. And therefore we cannot assume that Rabbi Shimon Levi meant to say we restrict this halacha of shalom v'darshin bo bayom to Purim and only to Purim. So the Gemara says Purim itzrich le. He wanted to tell you a special chiddush on Purim. Ma'u d'seima nigzar mishum d'rabba kamash malon. Which rabba do we have in mind? When the Gemara says nigzar mishum d'rabba, which rabba? Correct. That you don't read the Megillah on Shabbos because you might carry it through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, etc. We might not apply logically the Gzeir of Rabba even to Sholem V'Darshan. That would exclude Sholem V'Darshan and prohibit it because of the same Gzeir of the Rabba. What do you say?
Because
again, if Rashi is right that Sholem V'Darshan means what he has in front of him is the Igeres Purim, i.e. the Megillah, then you really haven't gained anything. If you want to circumvent the chashash of Rabbah, that maybe they'll carry the Megillah, well, what did you gain? You're still back to the same Megillah. The same Megillah that you would have read had Purim fell, or yesterday on Friday in Tel Aviv, you're going to read from the same Megillah on Shabbos in Yerushalayim. Except with one difference. It won't be a full-fledged reading of the Megillah from beginning to end. The Megillah is only going to be your text, your Torah Shemachsav, and now you're going to raise questions and make points and embellish and enhance the understanding of the text. But at the end of the day, you're still using the same Megillah that you used yesterday in Tel Aviv, so to speak. I don't mean the exact same Megillah. So the Gzeirah D'Rabba should apply. Kamash Malon, this is what Rabbi Shimon Levi wants to be Mechadish to us, that the Gzeirah D'Rabba only applies with a Kriya of the Megillah. Because the Kriya of the Megillah requires meticulous reading with all the trouble. like Max's reading of the Maftir last Shabbos, right, with all the specific details. It was a very beautiful reading. And that's then he might be tempted to carry the Megillah to a Baki, an expert who's going to teach him how to read it properly. But in the case of an Igeres Purim, which is just being used as a springboard for learning, for study, for questions and answers, here we're not afraid that it's going to be carried from place to place. And even more so, who's now reading from the Igeres Purim?
The Rav,
exactly, yeah. The Chacham, as we call it. In other words, it's not the classical case of Kriyas HaMegillah. We have a Kore, and you might have an upstart, you know, someone who's young and is inexperienced, this is the first time he's reading the Megillah, so he'll be tempted to, you know, he's so excited about the Megillah with all the anxiety of reading the Megillah, he might carry it through Rosh Hashanah to ask a book. But in the case of a Chacham who's reading the Megillah only as a springboard to ask questions and answers, says Rabbi Shimon Levi, the halacha of Sholem and Darshan it applies, and the Gzeir of Rava does not apply. Bishum de Rava, let's look at Rashi. De Gazar Lekamon, I have a note here that this is going to be a Gemara on Daf Daladam in Beis. Bekriyas HaMegillah, Shemi Yavirenu Arba Amr Spiritual Saram, Afkan Gazru, Jerusha Atu Kriya. Interesting. Rashi doesn't say it the way I said it. Rashi is saying that if we're going to allow you to darshan, then you might come to read the Megillah. Now, what does that sound like to you? We have a principle of Gzera, Asusi Agla Torah, but there's a limit. We don't add Gzera to Gzera. So we're not going to say that because you're eating milchiks and I'm eating fleishiks, we can't eat on the same table, right? Because if we have to eat on the same table, then maybe we'll eat from one another, which itself is only Gzera, because maybe we'll cook the food together, right? You can't, you know, if you eat meat and milk in the same mouth, that's not an Avera. It's only an Avera if you cook it together. So we're piling up one Gzera on top of another Gzera. So this should be a classical case of Gzera to Gzera. Oh, so the Gemara answers that Halal HaShulchan was included in the original Gzera. So we have to know how that works out. But in the Gemara's Kasha, the Gemara says that should be a classical Gzera to Gzera. And here, Rashi is saying, Gazrinon Drasha Atu Kriya.
And the Kriya itself was a Drasha.
And the Kriya itself is a Gzera because he might carry it for Amos in Rosh Hashanah. I don't know why this is not a violation of the rule of Ein Gozrin Gzera L'Gzera. Let me just take a minute of your time, if you don't mind. In the back of the Masifta, they have something called Biurei Rashi, maybe by chance. I don't usually succeed with this, but it's worth an effort to see if he adds anything here. Let's see if I can find it. Daf, Dalin, and Aleph. This is not going to be good if I knock over the tea here. Oh, Hiksha Yad David. So I'm very excited. Ha'avin zegzer l'gzer, shari af ha'kriya atzma nesukach mishum gzer, shabi avirena dalet amas. So he answers the following. Lo havi gzer l'gzer. Mishum shesavra gavar shekula chad gzer, he shedrasha b'chal kriya samagilah. In other words, how do we understand drasha? He's got a Megillah in front of him and he's darshaning. Is that Torah Shvichsav or Torah Shval Peh? In other words, Kriyas HaMegillah, the Gzeret Rabbah, is Torah Shvichsav. When you read the Megillah, and that's all you do is read the Megillah. Here, he's reading the Megillah only to darshan the Megillah. So on the one hand, there's also a reading of the Megillah. On the other hand, it's really Torah Shval Peh. You know, he's interpreting the Megillah. He's pontificating, he's darshaning on the Megillah, interpreting new dimensions and so forth. So the Havamina was that this Gzera of Rabbah applies not just to Kriyas HaMegillah when you read it as such, but even to Kriyas HaMegillah for the purpose of Drasha. That too is considered a Kriya, because there's an element of Kriya. He's going to read parts of the Megillah from the Megillah. I don't think he's going to read it from cover to cover, from beginning to end, but he's going to read chunks of the Megillah out loud. He's going to splice in his own interpretations and embellishments into the Kriya from one paragraph to the other, separating them as it were. But there is, at the end of the day, a Kriya from a Megillah, and therefore, Kula Chad Gzera, it's not considered a Gzera L'Gzera. So I just want to underline this, because I was very, very happy that he at least asked the question. Okay, next. Let's go on. Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Chayev Adam Likros Es HaMegillah B'Layla U'Lishanosa B'Yom. It's not enough to read the Megillah once, we have to read it twice. What would you say is the chiddush of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Once again, what would we have said if not for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi?
What's about reading
it? It's enough to read it
once.
Which Megillah reading is more pashut? And we would have assumed if there's one Megillah reading, it would be the Megillah reading by, and here I give you two choices, by night or by day.
I'd say by day.
Oh, why by day, Brian?
Because
I agree with you 100%, but let's see if we're on the same.
We read Kriyat HaTorah is done by day, it's not done by night. Regular reading is...
Ah, you want to say it's like a public reading of the Torah? The only problem is that Megillah has to be read even biyachid, meaning if I don't have a minyan, I'm going to read the Megillah alone. But you're saying insofar as there's an element of tzibur, and if all things are equal, the ideal way of reading the Megillah is public, then the public reading of Torah is always by day. What else is by day here in the case
all
of
government? Government's supposed to be.
Exactly. And that's called asir. The pasuk says, "Hayomim ha'ela nizkarim v'nasim." Nizkarim is a reference to Kriyas HaMegillah, and nasim is a reference to Mishteh and Mishloach Manos and Matanos Levyonim, all the mitzvahs. So the suda, the mishteh, the drinking, and everything is going to take place by day, because it says yamim ha'elu nasim. And Nizkarim, which is a reference and allusion to the Kriyas HaMegillah, is like the Nasim, and it also should be done by day. Basically, all the mitzvahs of Purim are meant to be fulfilled by day. The only exception is, and there's only one mitzvah Purim that we do by night, and that's what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is adding over here, and that's what? Kriyas HaMegillah. It's almost as if the Kriyas HaMegillah at night is a separate entity. It's not really part of Purim.
But maybe it's to prepare you for the next day. So
like it's like a preparation, you know, it's secondary. But the problem is that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi derives this from a pasuk. Is it possible that we can fit our pshat into this pasuk? That the real kriya is by day, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi sees in this pasuk an extra kriya that we have to add on. It's an add-on, but it's not the real thing, by at night. Shenemar, and here he quotes a pasuk in Tanakh. Let's see where this pasuk is. It's in Tehillim. What does David HaMelech say in Tehillim? Elokai, my God. Ekra, I will cry out Yomam during the day. But sometimes, unfortunately, lotan, you do not respond to my prayers. So what do? V'layla v'lo dumyuli. I won't be silent at night. In other words, the night is a kind of a, I call it a cavalry. You know, if the first row of soldiers doesn't succeed, then you bring in the second row. And the second row, the cavalry, that's going to hopefully succeed where the first row did not succeed. So the main thrust of calling out to Hashem is when? Yoma. Look at the pasuk. It says, Lokai Ekra Yoma. However, Lotan, if I didn't succeed and you didn't hearken to my prayers, then Laila V'lo Dumyuli, I'm not going to be silent at night. I'm going to continue persisting and I'm going to put my supplications forth to you, Almighty God, even at night. Now, what does this pasuk have to do with Kriyas HaMegillah? Who's crying out to Hashem out of a supplication, out of a heartfelt prayer? You saw the Rashi, or you came to it on your own?
Uh-huh.
I thought you were cheating here. You saw the Rashi. Okay. So Rashi says, Ekra, Now, in order to appreciate this Rashi, we have to identify which chapter in Tehillim this pasuk appears in. It's chapter 22. Does anybody know what the significance of chapter 22 is in Psalms? There was a British judge who knew something by heart. Do you remember that?
Right.
Anyway, this is called Ayelas HaShachar.
It's Esther.
Exactly. And what's famous about this chapter is the following pasuk. Keli Keli Lama Zavtani. Does that ring any bell? Nobody's familiar with that?
Esther said that when I'm going to Achashverosh.
Great. But you're familiar with this in Tehillim. I mean, we sing a song, Keli, Keli, Lama Zavtani.
We say that in Tisha B'Av too.
Right. And this is the element of Tisha B'Av on Purim. You know, if somebody asks you, where does Tisha B'Av reflect itself in Purim, you'll tell him, Keli, Keli, Lama Zavtani. Because that's the capital that Esther recited when she went into Achashverosh.
And she was fasting.
Says Rashi, Ekra, the Mizmar Lamnatzech al Ayelas HaShachar, Shuhu Nemar al Esther, Ayelas HaShachar is called Esther, Kiravrina Bevesefti Yuma, Lama Nimshala Esther Ka Ayelas HaShachar, and the Gemara explains why Esther is considered like the Ayelas HaShachar. Ayelas HaShachar indicates a slow process that finally reaches its culmination at daybreak. So if somebody has the ability to open up a Gemara Yoma, I don't have the ability to do that right now.
Do.
You do? That would be great. And look up Yoma Daf Chav Tes Amid Aleph. Well, what kind of Gemara do you have? You have like the Steinsaltz?
It does have English.
It does have English?
I see.
See if you can find Chav Tes Amid Aleph. Lama Nimshala Esther Kayel Sashachar.
My time with the Rabbi the Chiv, Lamnatech, Ayelet HaShachar, Ma Ayelet Ayelah Zukranea Mifal, Ma Matidot, Techan Lachan, Af Shachar Ze Matia Lachan Lachan, Amar Bizera, Lama Nimshila Esther La Ayela, Lomar Lachan, Ma Ayela Rahman Rahma, the Rahim Tsar, Chaviva of Bala, Kosha Abishak, Kisha Abishona.
All right, we'd have to go through this with a fine-tooth comb. But what's important for us is to understand why Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi picks out this pasuk in that particular capital of Tehillim to teach us that you read the Megillah not just by day but also by night. Because that pasuk in that particular Tehillim is a reference to Esther, who's crying out to Hashem at this critical moment. Because the entire chapter of Ayelet HaShachar is recited by Esther. Lamanatzeach al Ayelet HaShachar, Keli Keli Lama Zavtoni. So let me ask you a question. What is the mood of Megillah? You follow what I mean by a mood? Like what matzav ruach am I in when I read the Megillah? Is it happy? Is it joyous?
No, but it's just not hope, but like a calling out, a crying out.
Correct. There's a lot of crying out in Purim. And that's why you'll find in the Megillah many, many different paragraphs or verses are read in the Niggun of Megillah's Eicha. Because Purim really indicates how vulnerable man is. Imagine the Jews in Purim were considered the frontline citizens. They were invited to the party. But it doesn't matter. I mean, we're still vulnerable. We could still be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the nature of the Jewish people.
Yeah.
And b'chol dar v'dar omd malein el chalos seidim. So here we thought we were the most secure people. We were enjoying life in Shushan. And before you know it, overnight, Haman
comes with a decree.
That's right. He's appointed the viceroy. Yeah, then he gets the okay from Achashverosh.
Yeah,
so that motif of Megillah is very high profile. And it's not coincidental, therefore, that we're going to learn about the Kriyas HaMegillah from that motif in Kapitel Chaf Beis in Tehillim, which is all about Keli Keli Lama Saftani. So in a sense, Purim has two parts to it. It has the fun part, the happy part, the joyous part, but it also has the feeling of man's loneliness in this world and how vulnerable he is and how much he has to depend on Almighty God. The Jewish people have to depend upon Hashem. And that mood of supplication, of begging God, is high profile in the Megillah. And that's called Laila V'lo Dumyali. Even if Lotan, if you don't answer my prayers, then I'm going to continue persisting at night. And that's going to be the Megillah reading at night. Now, is it possible to combine in one single day these two motifs, the mood of fear, of trembling, of dependence upon Hashem, how vulnerable we are? You can have a woman, and I'm speaking about one of the members of my immediate family who was the paradigm of health and all of a sudden took sick. This is life. This is life is tough. You could be riding high one day and the next day, boom, everything falls down. Can you combine and integrate that mood with a day of happiness, of I would even say almost a frivolous nature? Yeah, it's mountain wild. I had a student in my yeshiva who on Purim dressed up in an ape's costume from cover to cover, and he was directing traffic on Ben Yehuda Street in the middle of Yerushalayim. Today he has his own yeshiva, by the way. And by the way, he didn't know it, but he had hepatitis at the time. In any event, how do you combine these two moods of Purim?
One thing, I have to go further. Why then, at the night time, don't you have a more solemn mood? But then in the daytime, you become happy. So
you want to separate between the night and the day. Excellent. I wanted to say something more radical. I think your pshat is a lot closer to the simple MS pshat. My pshat is, and this is wild, that Ein Hachinami, you can't have one day that reflects both moods, which are mutually exclusive, that one is the opposite of the other. It can't be solemnity, it can't be the serious heavy weight of God, I totally depend upon you, and at the same time be the apex, the pinnacle of losing myself in joking around. So we split it into 2 days. Which 2 days?
Shol v'darshan v'darshan on Purim.
No, there's no shol v'darshan on Purim, to my knowledge. I necessitate that. That we couldn't have it both on one day, so we split it into 2 days. This Tainus Esther and this Purim. So Purim, and I'm going to say from my pshat, not your pshat, Joel, that from the beginning, the inception of Purim, with nightfall until the end of Purim, for 24 hours, we are going to be in a state of joy, of happiness, of wild, raucous happiness. We're going to lose ourselves. I don't know what kind of cookies they're going to be eating in Canada this Purim. I don't know. But you're going to mamish be wild, right?
Would that be human?
Yeah, I'm very worried about this because I worked for an institution in Canada for 2 years and I got an email that they're going on a campaign to make sure that the young people in the city of Toronto don't get wild now that marijuana is legal. And I really was tempted to scream and yell, why don't you complain about the whiskey that's going on? I was at a kiddush in North Toronto. The amount of whiskey that they were drinking at that kiddush goes beyond belief. You know, I've seen people bar from too much whiskey. I've seen them just fall apart completely.
On Purim or regular Shabbos?
What'd he say?
Is that Purim or regular Shabbos?
No, I'm talking a regular Shabbos.
That's
right.
No, that's called making a
In Toronto, for example, it's really getting out of hand. So why are we going on a campaign? We're all nervous about the cookies. Maybe we should be worried about the whiskey. You know. But anyway, getting back to Purim, so what I'm trying to suggest is that Chazal were in a no-win situation because there are motifs in Purim that touch on the solemn, scary idea that man is just vulnerable, that everything can change overnight, and that we depend totally on Keli Keli. And they couldn't integrate that into Purim because it's antithetical to Purim. So they split it into 2 days. Now, the Tainus Esther element of Purim is integral to Purim. Meaning, if you don't fast on Tainus Esther, don't bother celebrating Purim. It's a package deal.
Why is it
Purim is a 2-day holiday.
Why is it then seen as a minor fast? And also, why women don't have the same sort of obligation? Do
well, we're more makel for a Yoledes or a Meinekes. Right? But I wouldn't say that fundamentally there's any difference between a man and a woman with regard to Tainus Esther. But again, because Tainus Esther is, as you say, is not one of the Avelus Tainus, and as we're not grieving over the loss of the Mikdash, so it has a little bit of a cooler to it, and will be more makeup for women who are pregnant, women who are nursing, and so forth. But what I'm suggesting is that Tainus Esther is not just an addendum to Purim; it's not just a tag on. It's part of the essential experience of Purim. That Purim is really a 2-day holiday. In America, they used to have a phrase, I don't know if you've heard of it, this is back in the day when the Jewish immigrants came and they wanted to be Shomer Shabbos. They said, if you don't come in Saturday, don't come in Sunday. This is before Sunday was the day off. Or if you don't come in Saturday, don't come in Monday. And that's why many Jews were laid off from their jobs, because they were Shomer Shabbos. It was an unbelievable nisayon for Jews in America at that time. I'm talking in the 1920s, 1930s. So I'm saying, if you don't come in on Tainus Esther, don't come in on Purim. Because Tainus Esther really sets the background for Purim.
If you,
it's a kiyum of Purim.
It's like half the kiyum of Purim.
Because the kiyum of Purim is a twofold kiyum. And the first element in the equation, chronologically, is to feel with Esther what she felt, Kaylee, when she went in to see Achashverosh. She was totally dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch.
And then there's one of the major themes of Vina HaFochel. Like you need, in order to be Vina HaFochel, you have to start with one way and turn it into something else. Right. You need both. You can't have one or the other.
If you appreciate and recognize how much we need God, then you'll appreciate when God steps in with His great Hashkocha Pratis and He saves us. But again, I come back to my first point that Reb Shu ben Levi quotes this capital of Dillim. Let's read it again. He says, Elokai ekra yomam velosane. I mean, this is the saddest thing in the world. Imagine you're in desperate straits. You know, the whole nation of Israel is, and its existence is on the line, is in the balance. Velosane. And God doesn't respond. But velayla velodumili, I'm going to continue insistently without let up and cry out at night as well. This is the mood of Purim? This is going to be the basis, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, for the halacha of reading Megillah not once, but twice? And the answer is yes, that there's no Purim without this solemn element of acknowledging to what extent, appreciating to what extent we depend upon Hashem. So the Gemara thinks that Rabbi Shimon ben Levi uses the word lishanosa not to express that he has to read the Megillah by night and by day, but lemikre balayla and lemisne masni diday biyamama. The Gemara thinks that when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi used the word lishanosa, the word lishanosa is a word that specifically means to study something. And the Gemara thought that what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was advocating was that at night we read the Megillah and during the day we study the Megillah. And maybe in studying the Megillah, we read through Masechta Megillah, we learn the Masechta, I don't know. But it's not really a kriya, but rather it's a shinun. L'shanosa bayom. Omer Rabbi Yeshu, Omer Lehu Rabbi Yirmiya, L'didi mefashin l'mine d'Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. I have an interpretation that I received, it was transmitted to me by Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi never meant to say that during the day we have to learn Masechta Megillah, but rather it means we have to read the Megillah a second time. So what does the word Lishanosa mean? After all, Lishanosa means to learn something, to study something. Kigon diami inchi, it's like the idiomatic phrase, that popular phrase, Evar Parshita Da Vesnaya. People used to say, I'm going to study this Parsha and I'm going to repeat it again and again. So sometimes the word Lishanos means to repeat something. Sometimes the word Lashanos means to study something. In this context, Rabbi Shimon Levi didn't mean that you have to study the Megillah on the day of Purim, but rather that you have to read the Megillah a second time around. Itmar Nami. Here's another Amora who says that you have to read the Megillah twice. Once by day, once by night. Om Rabbi Chelba Amar Ula Bira, he came from the city of Bira. Chayev Adam Likros HaMegillah Balayla Ulishanos HaBayom. So far, he's reiterating Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi's statement word for word, verbatim. But now he changes it. Shenemar, he quotes a different pasuk, also from Tehillim. Leman Yizamercha Chavod V'lo Yidom Hashem Elokai Li'olam Odecha. So the pasuk starts with Leman Yizamercha, which is referring to singing the praises of God. Kavod. Kavod means to give honor and glory to God. And if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi adds another word, Bayom. You see that? It's three lines up from the bottom of the page. Underline that word, Bayom. So Rashi is adding another word here. It's like a carrot that he's adding a word in the pasuk. That when the pasuk says, Laman Yizamecha Kavod, it's referring to Zemer, to singing the praise of God, by day. Then the pasuk says, V'lo Yidom. In other words, I'm not going to be silent. It's not enough that I sing the song of praise of God by day. I'm going to continue. Hashem Elokai li'olam odecha. And what's li'olam odecha? Rashi says, balayla. Now once again, Rashi wants to understand why this kapitel Tehillim, here we're dealing with Tehillim Perek Lamed, was singled out by Rabbi Chelbo to derive the mitzvah of Megillah. And another question we'll have to raise, which I don't think Rashi addresses, is why Rabbi Chelba was not satisfied with the pasuk of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. And you could ask it in both directions. So Rashi says, Haikra, this pasuk is in a kapitel which begins with the words, Aromimcha Hashem ki di lisani, which means that I will praise God because you have raised me up from the lowest of the low. Darshini b'psikta b'Mordechai v'Esther. Why? Because Mordechai v'Esther, representing of course the Jewish nation, were at the low point, and Aromimcha, now they reach the high point, because now Mordechai replaces Haman, and Esther is the queen. So that's called Aromimcha Hashem. Now I'm ready to sing the song of praise God, Ki Di Lisani, because you've lifted me up from the dregs. Ukriyas HaMegillah Shevachu. This is unbelievable. We keep saying, and we've said it over and over again, that Kriyas HaMegillah is Pirsum HaNes. But Rashi has a different twist here. The Pirsum HaNes is Shevach, is a song of praise to God. V'akol mekalsin l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We're all gathering together on Purim to sing the praises of God. Do we actually sing the praises of God? What do we do instead? We read the Megillah. The reading of the Megillah is going to be a fulfillment of Shevach, and that Shevach is derived from the pasuk Yizamercha Chavod. Again, that's part of a kapitel that begins with Aromimcha Hashem Ki Di Lisani. And since the pasuk says li'olam odecha, then it's adding on the nighttime to the daytime. So let me ask you a question, Rabbi Osai. I told you at the outset that intuitively I sense that without Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the main kriya, and if there would be only one kriya, would be during the day. Can I push this into the Gemara itself, to the psukim themselves? So let's go backwards. We'll start Rabbi Chelbo. Rabbi Chelbo starts with Laman Yizamercha Chavod, and Rashi adds the word Bayom. And then it says, Li'olam, V'lo Yidom, etc. Li'olam Odeka. So it means that the Iker Kriya is Bayom. So take a look at Tosus here. Chayav Adam Likros Esamigil Balayla Shanos Bayom, four lines up from the bottom. Omeri, the Afa Gavdi Mevarech Zman. Balayla, even though he recites Shachianu Mikimanu as the third bracha before the reading at night, meaning because this is the first time I'm doing the mitzvah of Megillah, so I have to attach the bracha of Shekhar Yonah. Mikol Makom, he says, nevertheless, Chozer Mavarech Oso Bayom. He's going to recite Shekhar Yonah a second time by day.
The first time, the
night
time was the
acre,
and the second time is like the extra one.
Oh, because this is a pella. Why would you say Shekhar Yonah? Max has already answered the question, but let's go back to the question for a minute. On the daytime reading of the Megillah, you've already fulfilled the mitzvah of Megillah. Let me ask you a question. When we go into the Sukkah, how many times are we going to make Shekhar Yonah?
Once.
Only once. At night, we enter the Sukkah first time, we make Shekhar Yonah in the mitzvah of Yeshiva Sukkah. We're not going to make a second Shekhar Yonah by day.
No.
And that's true for any mitzvah. Any mitzvah that I recite Shekhar Yonah, I only recite Shekhar Yonah the first time I do the mitzvah. The second time I implement the mitzvah, I don't make a second Shekhar Yonah. Here's the exception to the rule. Tosfos insists that we're going to recite Shekhar Yonah by day, even though we've already recited it at night. And Tosfos gives the following explanation. The Iker Persume Nisa Vikriya Diyamam Ukranami Mashmakein. I'm going to try to prove to you from the pasuk itself that the Ikar is the Kriya by day. The Ksiv V'laila V'lo Dumyali. He's going back to Rabbi Shimon ben Levi. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi quotes the pasuk Lakai Ekra Yomam. So what comes first? Yomam. And then it says V'lo Sane V'laila V'lo Dumyali. So the V'laila is an add-on. That's a secondary kind of kriya. And the Iker kriya is going to be by Yom. Kevon Shizkiro HaKosuv Tchila. And the Pasuk mentions the Yom first. And I don't know why Tosfos only quotes this Pasuk of Rabbi Yeshua and Levi. Let's take the Pasuk of Rabbi Chalbo. There also, as we saw in Rashi, L'man Yizamercha Chavod, Rashi says, that's referring to the daytime. And V'lo Yidom is adding the nighttime. Maybe Tosfos didn't see it. Meaning, he didn't agree with Rashi. Maybe Tosfos thought that the fact that it says L'vayim Zemech Chavod doesn't necessarily have to refer to the daytime. But certainly in the case of the Pasuk of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, Elokai Ekra Yomam, the Pasuk is explicit that it's referring to the daytime. And since it's mentioned first in the Pasuk, Tosfos says that makes it into the Ikar Kriya. And if it's the Ikar Kriya, then I have a right to, on that extra status of the Kriya by Yom, I can make a Shekhar Yonah, because that's brand new. Meaning, the Kriya at night only reached such and such a level. Let's say it reached the level of 60 on the Richter scale. Now I go from 60 all the way to 100, and on that increment, because the Ikar Kriya is by Yom, I'm going to make a Shekhar Yonah. Then Tosfos has another svar, Vagam, Ikar Seuda B'Yamamahu. This is what we were referring to before, the Asiya. Right? The Torah says, the Megillah says, not only am I obligated in Kriya, which is called Zechira in the Lashon of the Megillah, but also in Asiya, which means a Suda Mishteh. And that has to be by day. Kedomel Kamon, Im Ochla B'Laila Lo Yatsu Yidecho Vasa. Now, I was a Rosh Yeshiva in a Yeshiva called Vaser, Max will know what I'm talking about. And we used to go wild at night. Yeah. And I know a woman who used to prepare for the yeshiva bachurim a certain kind of punch. You going, Moshe?
Yeah, I'm going to get prepared for tomorrow and get something to drink.
All right.
She shared her last name with you, I believe.
What do you say?
This woman shared her last name with you.
Right. And people still remember the Chinese punch, you know, from those famous years of Vaser, the famous punch. But the Gemara unfortunately says that you can drink as much as you like in the night of Purim, but you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. Because the mitzvah has to be fulfilled when? By day. V'ahachi nami mashma b'lechsiv nizkarim v'nasim v'iskish zechira l'asiya ma'ikra asiya v'yamamach zechira came on that extra element of Kiyum, of the Iker Kiyum of Megillah, which is by day, you make a Shekhar Yonah. Now, Rabotai, we're going to have to stop for Meir, but believe Ned, the next week I want to tell you about the Rambam. The Rambam says you only make Shekhar Yonah at night, and there's no Shekhar Yonah by day. Meaning the Rambam had an absolute equation between the Kriya of Megillah at night and the Kriya by day. Tosfos, on the other hand, understands that Kriya by night is sort of like an add-on, but the Iker Kriya is by day. And this is going to be a machlokes lemaisa between the Ashkenazim and the Sfaradim. So our Ashkenazic minhag reflects the Shita of Tosfos, and we're going to recite Shachianu Yimrei. I doubt my reverse. So. Have a good night. Are you here next week? Or when are you on your...
I'll speak.